Okay, I said. And there's a difference between the types of werewolves. Right, Bob confirmed. Mostly it depends on how you go from human form to wolf form and how much of your humanity you retain. Don't burn the coffee. I turned down the flame beneath a beaker of coffee, annoyed. I know. Okay, then. How do you get to be a wolf? The classic werewolf, Bob said, is simply a human being who uses magic to shift himself into a wolf. Magic? Like a wizard? No, Bob said. Well, sort of. He's like a wizard, who only knows how to cast the one spell, the one to turn him into a wolf, and knows how to get back out of it again. Most people who learn to be werewolves aren't very good at it for a while, because they keep all of their own humanity. What do you mean? Well, Bob said, they can reshape themselves into the form of a wolf, but it's pretty much just topology. They rearrange their physical body, but their mind remains the same. They can think and reason, and their personality doesn't change. But they don't have a wolf's instincts or reflexes. They're used to being sight-oriented bipeds, not smell-oriented quadrupeds. They would have to learn everything from scratch. Why would someone do something like that? I said. Just learn to turn into a wolf, I mean. You've never been a peasant in medieval France, Harry, Bob said. Life was hard for those people. Never enough food, shelter, medicine. If you could give yourself a fur coat and the ability to go out and hunt your own meat, you would have jumped at the chance, too. Okay, I think I got it, I said. Do you need silver bullets or anything? Do you turn into a werewolf if you get bitten? Bah, Bob said. No, Hollywood stole that from vampires. And the silver bullet thing is only in special cases. Werewolves are just like regular wolves. You can hurt them with weapons just like you can a real wolf. Now that's good news, I said, stirring a potion. What other kinds are there? There's a version of a werewolf when someone else uses magic to change you into a wolf. I glanced up at him. Transmortification? That's illegal, Bob. It's one of the laws of magic. If you transform someone into an animal, it destroys their personality. You can't transform someone else without wiping out their mind. It's practically murder. Yeah, neat, huh? But actually, most personalities can survive the transformation. For a little while, at least. Really strong wills might manage to keep their human memories and personality locked away for several years. But sooner or later, they're irretrievably gone, and you're left with nothing but a wolf. I turned from the potions to scribble on my notebook. Okay. What else makes a werewolf? The most common way, back in France, was to deal with a demon, or a devil, or a powerful sorcerer. If you got a wolf hide belt, put it on, say some magical words, and whammy, you're a wolf. A hexen wolf. Isn't that just like the first kind? No, not at all. You don't just use your own magic to become a wolf. You use someone else's. I frowned. Isn't that the second kind, then? Stop being obtuse, Bob chided me. It's different because you're employing a talisman. Sometimes it's a ring or amulet, but usually it's a belt. A talisman provides an anchor for a spirit of bestial rage. Nasty thing from the bad side of the Never Never. That spirit wraps around a human personality to keep it from being destroyed. A kind of insulation, I said. Exactly. It leaves you with your own intellect and reason, but the spirit handles everything else. I frowned. Sounds a little easy. Oh, sure, Bob said. It's really easy. And when you use a talisman to turn into a wolf, you lose all of your human inhibitions and so on, and you just run on your unconscious desires. With a talisman spirit in charge of the way the body moves. It's really efficient. A huge wolf with a human-level intelligence and an animal-level ferocity. I eyed Bob and gathered up the other ingredients for the stimulant potion. A morning donut for taste, a cock's crow for hearing, fresh soap for smell, bits of a washcloth for touch, and a beam of dawn sunshine for sight. A to-do list for the mind, and a bit of bright, cheerful music for the spirit, and the potion was simmering along nicely. Bob said nothing while I added the ingredients, and when I was finished, I said, "Most people don't have the strength to contain a spirit like that, I think. It would influence their actions, maybe even control them, suppress their conscience." Yeah, so? So it sounds more like you're creating a monster. It's effective, Bob said. I don't know about the good or the evil of the thing. That's something that only you mortals worry about. What did you call this flavor again?
Hexenwolf,
Bob said, with a strong Germanic accent. Spellwolf. The church declared war on anyone who chose to become a Hexenwolf and burned a large number of people at the stake. Silver bullets, I asked. Bitten and turned into a werewolf?
Would you get off this bitten and turned into a werewolf kick, Harry? Bob said. It doesn't work that way. Not ever. Or you'd have werewolves overrunning the entire planet in a couple of years.
Fine, fine, I sighed. What about the silver bullets?
Don't need them.
All right, I said, and continued jotting information down to put together for Murphy in a report. Hexenwolf. Got it. What else?
Lycanthropes, Bob said.
Isn't that a psychological condition?
It might also be a psychological condition, Bob said, but it was a reality first. A lycanthrope is a natural channel for a spirit of rage. A lycanthrope turns into a beast, but only inside his head. The spirit takes over. It affects the way he acts and thinks, makes him more aggressive, stronger. They also tend to be very resistant to pain or injury, sickness. They heal rapidly, all sorts of things. But they don't actually shapeshift into a wolf.
Give the boy a kewpie, Bob said. They're just people too, but they're awfully fierce. Ever hear of the Norse berserkers? Those guys were lycanthropes, I think. And they're born, not made.
I stirred the stimulant potion and made sure it was at an even simmer. And what was the last one? The loop what?
Loop Guru, Bob said. Or that was the name Etienne the Enchancer used for them before he got burned at the stake. The Loop Guru are the major monsters, Harry. Someone has cursed them to become a wolf-like demon, and usually at the full moon. That someone's got to be really powerful, too, like a major heavyweight sorcerer or a demon lord or one of the fairy queens. When the full moon comes, they transform into a monster, go on a killing spree, and slaughter everything they come across till the moon sets or the sun rises. A sudden chill went over me and I shivered.
What else?
Supernatural speed and power, supernatural ferocity. They recover from injuries almost instantly if they become hurt at all. They're immune to poison and to any kind of sorcery that goes to the brain, killing machines.
Sounds great. I guess this hasn't happened all that often. I'd have heard something by now.
Right, Bob said. Not often. Usually the poor cursed bastard knows enough to shut himself away somewhere or head out into the wilderness. The last major Loop Guru rampage happened around Gévaudan, France, back in the 16th century. More than 200 people were killed in little more than a year.
Holy shit, I said. How did they stop it?
They killed it, Bob said. Here's where the silver bullets finally come in, Harry. Only a silver weapon can hurt a Loop Guru. And not only that, the silver has to be inherited from a family member. Inherited silver bullets.
Really? Why would that work and not a regular silver?
I don't make the laws of magic, Harry. I just know what they are and have an idea when they're changing. That one hasn't changed. I think maybe it has something to do with the element of sacrifice.
Inherited silver, I mumbled. Well, I'll just have to hope that that wasn't a Loop Guru, I guess.
If it was a looper, you'd know, Bob said wisely. In the middle of this town, you'd have a dozen people dead every time the full moon came around.
What's going on?
A dozen people are dying every time the full moon comes around. I filled Bob in on the Lobo killings, giving him all the information Murphy had given to me, and started on the next potion. Into the water went the ingredients. Plastic wrap for sight, a bit of plain white cotton for a touch, a little deodorant for smell, a rustle of wind for hearing, a leaf of plain old lettuce for taste, and finally, I threw in a piece of blank paper for the mind, and some elevator music for the spirit. The ingredients were boring. The potion looked and smelled boring. Perfect.
Lot of dead people.
Bob commented. I'll let you know if I think of anything good. I wish I knew something else. I want you to learn more, I told him. Go out and see what else you can round up on werewolves. Bob snorted. Fat chance, Harry. I'm a spirit of intellect, not an errand boy. But when I said the word out, Bob's eyes glittered. I'll pick you up some new romance novels, Bob, I offered. Bob's teeth clicked a couple of times thoughtfully. Give me a 24-hour pass, he said. I shook my head. Forget it. The last time I sent you out, you invaded a party over at Loyola and set off an orgy. Bob sniffed. I didn't do anything to anyone that a keg wouldn't have done. But those people didn't ask for you to get into their systems, Bob. No way. You had your fun, and I'm not letting you out again for a while. Oh, come on, Harry. No, I said, flatly. It would only be one little... No, I said again. Bob glowered at me and demanded. New romances. None of those tatty used ones. I want something off the bestseller list. I want you back by sunrise, I countered. Fine, Bob snapped. I can't believe how ungrateful you are. After everything I've done for you, I'll see if I can get someone's name. There might be a spirit or two who could get you some juicy information. The orange lights that were his eyes glittered and then flowed out of the skull in a misty cloud of lambent illumination. The cloud flowed up the ladder and out of my laboratory. I sighed and set the second potion to simmering. It would take another hour or two to cook the potions and then to shove the magic into them. So I sat down with my notebook and started writing up my report. I had to help Murphy nail the killer, whoever it was, while avoiding any trouble with the FBI. Otherwise, she was out of a job, and even if I didn't end up in jail, I would be out of a living myself. Johnny Marconi's man had been killed, and I'd be a fool to think he would stand idly by and do nothing in response. I was sure the gangster would rear his head sooner or later. Aside from all that, there was a monster of one kind or another lurking in the dark, and the police and the FBI had been helpless to stop it. That left only me, Harry Dresden, your friendly neighborhood wizard, to step in and do something about it. And if the killer figured out that I was getting involved, he would doubtless start gunning for me next. My troubles were multiplying. Hexenwolves, werewolves, lycanthropes, loup-garou. What'll they think of next?